before, but can y'all can really hear me now? Okay. Anyway, that's the reason why I found it in the Bible and I had heard ministers preach on it and all that. I have never and will never speak of Brother Brad or tell anything of him or anything like that that would uncover him in any way, talk about him in any kind of bad way that would leave anybody with a bad thought about him or anything. The reason why is because God is very big on honor and respect. This is echoing to me up here. Might not be to y'all. But anyway, God's very big on honor. He said those that honor him, he'll what? He'll honor them. How does God honor us? Well, one thing with his presence. Another thing, revelation of his word, many ways, gifts, giving you favor with man and everything. But anyway, because Brother Brad used to tell us this, and you're going to have to do it too. Everybody is going to come there. Some people come to our house one time, and they started saying some things about Brother Brad. And y'all have all heard the story, I'm sure, if you remember it. And Scotty told him, said, stop right there. Don't tell me nothing else. Said because in the morning was Sunday. He said, in the morning when we get to church, we'll get Brother Brad in a room, and then you can tell me, and he's there. And they hushed and they never said it. They didn't even come to church Sunday morning, Johnny. The reason being why you can't do that is because, and see, I don't like to say it because people think that you're saying it a lot of times because of you. I'm not saying this because of me. I'm saying it for your benefit. It ain't going, listen, if you don't do it, I'm not going to lose one bit of sleep, but you might. Why? Because, see, Jesus said, if you receive the one that he sends, you receive him. And if you receive him, you receive the Father. Okay, turn that around. If you don't receive the one that he sends, you don't receive Jesus and you don't receive the Father. Talking about the words that are spoken. So, see, you might not like the color of the package. I'm the package. Scotty's package. Your leadership or whoever God puts over you. You might not, Scotty calls it the mailman. You might not like the personality of the mailman. You might not like the hair color. You might not like the way they talk. But you better not dishonor or disrespect in any way. Why? Because God is sending your word through somebody. And for an example, I know somebody that, y'all know Ron Day, when he comes, every now and then he might say, oh, come on, somebody. Well, I say it this way. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Same thing. You know, I got that from Ron Carpenter. I didn't do that till I started listening to him. And then it just started coming out, and I'm like, where did I get this from? But anyway, he says, you know, oh, come on, somebody. Well, when that person comes to this service, he will say that 50 times, seems like. And the reason why is because that just irks them. A lot of times God will put your word in somebody that you really don't want to hear it from. I don't want Scotty telling me nothing. But sometimes God will give him something for me. And especially when I come to church, well, he's my pastor. So you cannot allow yourself to get offended. You cannot allow yourself to disrespect or dishonor in any way. Listen, and just because you show respect and honor doesn't mean they're respectable or honorable. Y'all have heard Joyce Meyer's story, right? Y'all heard the things that her family, her mother and her father, especially her father, did to her until she was 18 years old. Not going into all that. Then God tells her the word. Honor your father and your mother. How easy you think that was for her? She took them in when they got to where they couldn't take care of themselves. She paid somebody to come and stay with them and all that. Then when they got beyond that, she put them in the nursing home. Her and her husband paid for all of that. And he got saved right before he died, not long. Now she honored him and she treated him with respect, even though he was not an honorable or respectable man. Now, you can look that up. We talked about it last week in Numbers chapter 12 about Aaron and Miriam. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 that Moses married an Ethiopian woman. They didn't like that, so they started speaking against Moses. God come and he said, I heard what you said against me. And they said, what? What you said against my servant Moses. And so she got her a good case of leprosy and all that, and it ended up Moses had to pray for him, you know, to get her healed and all that after she stayed outside the camp. Why? God takes whatever authority he places over you as himself. If you don't receive or you disrespect or you dishonor that person and that place, then you dishonor God. And it's not just about ministry, just like parents. Oh, y'all kids ain't saying nothing. Parents, your parents may not be the best parents. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change the word. Ephesians over there, 6, he says, honor your father and your mother. And then he goes on and he says, this is the first commandment with promise. Why? God takes it personally because he, through them, is the authority that he has placed over you. And when you honor them and you treat them with respect and everything, God takes it as you're doing it unto him. Right? So now, y'all got that right? Scotty said he did. All right. Now we can move on, maybe. I have been trying to get over here. He even talks about it in Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministries, you know, and all that. But now we're going to go to Stony Ground. I thought about something later after I had wrote this down. Beth don't have this one, I don't think. Excuse me. Look at Matthew 13. Verse 5. It says, some, because we've read this and read this, I'm not going to read the whole thing, just verse 5. He says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, look at, let's see here, verse 20. But he that, and this is the understanding of it, but he that receives seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now go over to Luke 8. Verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Now, remember what we said about wayside. A willing heart makes a hearing ear. Some people, they cannot even hear the word when it comes. We done went over that and over that. That's wayside ground. It says, and it was trodden down. What was it? No value to it, right? Meant nothing to them. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away. Why? Because it lacked moisture. Okay, there's four types of ground, or we could say it four people or four groups here. But only one, because we're just using four, is going to make it all the way through. So, you heard it, you heard the word come to you, whatever the word was, salvation, and then every word after that come to you. You hear it or you don't hear it. That's wayside ground. So if you do hear it, and then you go on to the second ground, which is called stony ground. Well, we see here, their problem is they lack moisture. When that word that you heard gets to this place right here, you better get real good at hearing the word and saying the word and meditating the word. Why? How do you get moisture? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 3. Starting in verse 4 for time's sake. For while one saith, now they're in argument, arguing with each other, you know, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, and all that. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you yet not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What's he mean? The Apostle Paul is the one that got the revelation that salvation is coming now through Jesus Christ, right? And got the revelation of grace and all of that. Okay, that the first time you hear something, that's planting. Everything after that is what Apollos done. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. What was Apollos doing? Apollos was coming along and saying the same things and preaching the same thing that the Apostle Paul preached. But they had already heard it, so the word had done been planted. But he says Apollos watered. It says that stony ground, the problem with it, they lack moisture. So how are you going to get more water? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not what you heard yesterday. Hearing and hearing and hearing. And hearing and hearing. What I like to do a lot of times, if I feel something in my heart, a certain subject God's dealing with me about or something like that, I'll go and I'll look, ministers that I trust, that I listen to, and I'll look and see two or three different ministers that has a teaching or a preaching on the same subject. The reason why I do that is because maybe I didn't get it the way they said it. And I'm watering. The second one that I listen to, they might say it a little different way. That's the reason why we're reading and having to take this Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three together, just to interpret this one parable. So sometimes somebody can say it one way and somebody else say it, and the other way they say it, you get it. Or maybe they get a little more revelation or a little more insight. So you must keep hearing the Word of God. All right, let's go back to, no, let me finish this right quick. What did I say, through nine? Where it is? Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. That verse 9 in Amplified says, for we are fellow workmen, talking about him and Apollos, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building. Now go back over to, let's see, I think I want to, let me see here. All right, yeah. Luke 8, verse 13. He says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Okay, it went past the first part. It wasn't wayside, right? It went past that. They actually heard it with spiritual ears. It said, notice, they receive it with what? This is our first indicator that word is made faith. How do I know that? Joy, faith, joy is always the result of faith. You cannot be in faith and be sad. You cannot be in faith and not be excited. Why? Because faith knows that you know that you know that you know you have the things you've asked. To you on the inside, they are done. I'm believing God for something right now, and I'm telling you, the mailman run last night about 7:30, and I was out there, and I thought, hey, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I thought, my stuff is in that mailbox. I walked out there to the mailbox at 7:30 just to open that up. Now, it's dark. Got my mail out, and I thought, man, it's not in there. I even reached all the way in the back and did like that. Why? I am fully persuaded, D, that is mine. I don't know when. I don't know how, but it's mine. And I can't even tell you what it is. Well, I can't talk about it without laughing. It's not funny. They received it with joy. So this tells me that word went past wayside. They heard it. It got in the heart. Why? It sprang up with joy. So number one indicator, if you've got real faith in God or whatever it is that you're, what word you heard, you know it's yours. For an example, I just thought about this yesterday when I was meditating. And y'all know the thing with Johnny and Samantha and kids and all that stuff, you know, and everything, when they wasn't here. Well, I know that they was believing to be together, you know, the will of God and all that stuff. And Rondé come and I think he told Johnny something down the lines that God's going to give you the desires of your heart or something down those lines, you know. Well, then I heard him outside. I think he was telling his daddy, he's excited. He's got joy. And I heard him. He said, I'm going to get my family back. That word did not fall on deaf ears. It didn't go to wayside. It went in his heart, instantaneously made faith. How do I know? Because he's got joy. But then something comes after that. Let's look here at it. So this ground here's got to get good, real good at watering. All right. Let's go over to Romans 10, I'm sorry. I'll show you something. Romans 10, for time's sake, verse 8. But what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, where? In my mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of what? Faith. That's where it has to be. In the heart and in the mouth. He says here, he says, in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Colossians 2, 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. When you get to this point and the joy springs up, the faith is there, the joy springs up, you better get real good at watering that word that you heard. No matter what level, what it was, a word about finances, a word about healing, whatever the case may be, you got to get real good at watering. Why? This ground don't have much earth. I thought for all this time this meant rocky ground, like you got rocks. I mean, Scotty has a chirp pit over there with the grass on top of it. Over there at his land. But at my house, my place is very rocky. And a lot of it doesn't show. But a lot of it is like big sheets of rock. That's the problem Scotty had with the swimming pool, D. It's like a big sheet of rock. And only parts of that rock is showing. So you don't know the whole thing is there. It's got dirt and it's got grass that's over it. But you know what happens, D? The first sign of dryness in the summer? That's the first grass to die. The first grass to turn brown. This is the stony ground. That's why you got to get real good at hearing the word. Hearing the word. Say you heard the word about the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Then you got to keep hearing that word. Keep hearing that word. Keep hearing that word. Keep hearing that word. Keep saying that out of your mouth. Why? The Apostle Paul, he said, we have believed, therefore we do what? I can't help myself. You can't help yourself. When you're really in faith, you got to tell somebody. I caught myself. I'm about to tell Aubrey about what I'm believing for, and I caught myself. I was about to tell Travis, and I caught myself. Why? Well, how come I'm not telling nobody? Number one, I don't want nobody knowing. I don't know who God's going to bring it through, Johnny. And it is exciting. The thing is not as exciting. I already know I have it. What's so exciting to me is it Sandy? Is it coming through the mail? Am I going to be at the post office and somebody's just going to give it to me? Is it coming through somebody at church? God, how are you going to do it? Who are you going to use to do it? That's exciting. So therefore, because I have faith and it's causing joy, I have to hold myself back from talking about it to everybody. So you better get real good at watering that word. How do you water it? You hear preaching on it. You hear ministers on it. You read about that word in the Bible. And then you believe it in your heart. You got faith, so you're believing it, right? And it's got to keep coming out of your mouth. The same thing. The blessing of the Lord. We're just going to use that one for an example. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Thank you, God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Woo! Glory to God. And by the time you get there, you can't help it, Johnny. You're so excited. But if you don't, keep hearing it, hearing it, hearing it, hearing it. Reading it, confessing it, reading it, confessing it, right? He says, I don't let that word depart from my eyes. That means I got to keep reading it. I got to keep seeing it. I don't let it depart from my ears. I got to keep having it going in. Why? Faith comes how? You can't ever let your faith level get low. So that means you got to keep hearing it. But when that faith level's up there, you got to keep the same confession coming out of your mouth the whole time. Because the Bible says faith without works is what? Sometimes the greatest thing of faith is all you can do is talk about it. And that's all you need. That's all you want to do. You want to talk about it in the morning. You want to talk about it at lunchtime. You want to talk about it at nighttime. You want to talk about it when you go to bed and your husband's tired of hearing about it. Not mine. But y'all know what I'm saying. I mean, you talk about it so much that you can. People, they thought, oh, yeah, yeah, God, we've heard that. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Why? It means nothing to them. It says faith without works is dead. Faith must have corresponding words, corresponding actions. So, say your word level gets low. What starts happening? first thing going to start happening is your joy level's going to start getting low. The words, you don't talk about it as much. Now you don't talk about it at all. And a little more time goes by, and before you know it, I'm telling you right now, I know the Bible says. When you hear that, you already know some unblessed coming. I know the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, but it's just not working. What? Y'all ain't saying nothing. See what I'm talking about? Stony ground. You got to keep it watered, and you got to keep the same confession coming out of your mouth. Why? You've got faith. It's not you ain't got faith. That word went in, joy came, faith made joy. So you know you got faith. It's not that you don't have faith, but now is the time you're going to have to walk and you're going to have to live by that faith and not what you see, think, and feel when other people tell you. Let's go on here. Let's look at, let me see what I got wrote down. All right, look at Luke 8. Glory to God. God is good, amen? All the time, God is good. That ain't right. Oh, there it is. That paper's hiding it. Verse 13, it says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. So that tells me faith came. They heard, got in the heart, joy came, faith came, they start saying it. And these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. This word temptation is not the word temptation like trying to get you to do drugs or commit adultery. No. This word here, I looked it up. In that specific scripture, that word temptation, it says a putting to proof by experiment prove. Look at Psalm 105. Y'all remember the story of Joseph, right? 105 verse 16 for time's sake. This is talking about Joseph. It says, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man, talking about God, sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with feathers. He was laid in iron. Notice this. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord did what? I told you this stony ground's very interesting to me. All right, they heard it, and it went in. They had some kind of value to it. So it's not wayside. Now it's stony ground. They received it. Faith came. Joy came. They start watering that word. And then now, you got to hang on to it. The devil's not in this one, April. Mm-mm. You won't find him in those verses. Now, the wayside, we brought up the scripture that it says that when people are perishing or lost or whatever, that the God of this world has blinded their hearts and mind, lest the glorious light of the gospel shine in, right, and they be born again. All right, this ground right here, devil ain't nowhere around. It's like this, say you hear the word on tithing and giving. Y'all know what it says, right? Malachi 3, all that. He says, prove me now. He said, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, you know, and all this stuff. And you hear that word with spiritual ears. It goes into your heart, and you're like, whoo, glory, I'm rich. God's going to open up the windows of heaven, pour me out a blessing. I'm not even going to have enough room to receive it all. And then he's going to rebuke the devourer, he says. Then you get an unexpected bill. Y'all not saying nothing. The devil's not in this. You better hear me. A lot of times we place too much on emphasis on the devil when he ain't even doing nothing. This is the word of the Lord about tithing to you. This is the word of the Lord. When you hear the word, it says, There is that scatters, yet he increases, right? David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, cast down, nor his seed begging bread. When you hear these things about prosperity, now at this level, at this stony ground, you got to keep hearing it, you got to keep saying it, and you got to walk by the word. This is point right here. You believe it just because the word said it. Why? He says, the just shall live. This word is what's going to try you. It says, until, y'all remember the story about Joseph, right? He had a dream. He told his brother and his brothers and his father. Then he had another dream on the exact same thing, nearly, except then his the sun and the moon, you know, was in that one, his mother and father and the stars. Listen, if God tells you something twice, it can't be changed. He tells you something, sometimes he's telling you because you can pray, you can intercede, you can do something that'll change that. But if he tells you the same thing twice, it means it can't be changed. It's going to happen. So the word of the Lord came to Joseph, what? Oh, yeah, and he did. I don't believe he said it arrogantly. He's just telling them. I had a dream twice. Oh, y'all going to bow down to me? That would go over real well. My sister, I could see her. What in the world do you think you are? You know, she had much on that stuff anyway. Anyway, can y'all just imagine? I mean, think with me. You're telling, you got all these brothers, and you're telling, y'all going to bow down to me. Thus saith the Lord. Now I'm telling you, I had a dream. And then come back the next day. I had that dream again, except this time the sun and the moon. My mom and my daddy bowed down. Now that's going to go over real well with Darce. Then what happens? First thing that happens is his brothers, he goes off with them and they sell him into slavery. They was going to kill him, but Reuben stopped them. Anyway, they sold him off into slavery. What's happening? Do you reckon he could have thought, Lord, what is going on here? You said they're going to bow down to me, that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. God, you said you was going to open up the windows of heaven. And I'm broker now than what I was before I got started. Y'all not saying nothing. I have lived this, but I didn't even know, Johnny, I was living this. Just goes to show you, if you got the Holy Spirit and you love the Lord and want to obey Him, you can be dumb as dirt. But I honestly believe that we don't have to be. And the Lord said to me this year that this church, as individuals and as a body, we're going higher. And I believe this parable, understanding this parable, is going to take us there. Because he says, this is the kingdom, the way the kingdom operates. And this is the granddaddy parable. If you don't get this one, how can you understand any of the rest of them? So this stony ground here, you got to be real good at watering it. Then you got to be real good at believing God's word just because he said it. You're going to have to get real good at not listening to what other people say, not listening to the thoughts that come to your mind. When are you going to believe you're healed? When I feel it. You don't never feel it. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm not trying to be ugly. God is trying to help us. When are you supposed to believe you're healed? When you hear the word, right? You hear the word and you know you've received it because you're like, whoo, glory to God, I'm healed. Okay, I know people that they have received the word about healing, they have been healed, and then after they testify or whatever, a little time goes by, indeed they have a pain. And they know they healed, but they have a pain or they have a symptom. And they're like, gosh, I thought I was healed, but guess I'm not, because if I really was, you know, I wouldn't be having these symptoms, or I wouldn't be. Lie! You're going by how you feel. And then before you know it, your healing's gone. It wasn't that you didn't get it, it's you gave it up. You quit. See, this ground right here, they're real quick to receive and get joy. But they're real quick to quit. Why? Walking and living by faith, it goes contrary to everything you think in the natural, everything you see in the natural, everything you feel in the natural. And right here, I don't say this to judge or anything. This right here makes me see, this wayside and this stony ground makes me see people when I talk about it, what happened to them. Some of them I've wondered, Dave, what happened to them? I understand now. I understand now how come over and over and over for 20-something years now, or just over 20 years, I've heard people come in the door, oh, it's so good here, they like it here, and just a few weeks or a little time goes by, and they're like, it's so hard there. It's too hard here. And I've asked y'all, is it hard here? And y'all like, no, it ain't hard to me. See, some people refuse. That takes away all responsibility on God. God is in control of everything. What'd you eat this morning? God make you eat the pancakes? Was he in control whether you eat pancakes or cereal? What you have on this morning, I'm not saying you didn't endeavor to be led. I'm endeavor to be led, what I wear to church and different stuff like that. But he didn't make me put this on this morning. He's not in control of everything. If he was, there would be no prisons. There would be no jails. There would be no murder. There would be no rape. Why? There's none of that in heaven. So God is not in control of everything and everybody. And you'll hear people, they like to say, well, somebody died, and they'd be like, well, God must have needed another angel. Let me tell you why people say that. Because they don't want to put nothing off on them. Because he says, if you're sick, you call for the elders of the church. Well, number one, you ain't going to church, so what elders you going to call? Woo! Well, y'all should have just known I was sick and come over here and pray. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says for you to call. He says, call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And if there's any sick, they'll be healed. And if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. But see, now that puts something off on people. Well, it's just up to God. And people will say, God, I see your word says I'm healed. God, when are you going to heal me? God, when are you going to heal me? God, please heal me. God, you know I've got a work for you to do, God. And I'm so sick. You know I can't do it. Sick, and I'm in so much pain. You can't keep asking God to do something he's already done. He's not going to change his word. He's not going to change his ways. He said, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. But because some people don't know what's going on and they don't understand this, they keep begging God, God, when are you going to change my finances? God, you know I want to pay my bills. He's saying, when are you going to shut that up and believe what I said? I've already paid your bills. I've already healed your body. I've already provided everything you can need. And I've done that, he says, and now I give you all things richly to enjoy. Oh, hallelujah. That's my new scripture. I put that on my new paper reading. I read that scripture every day, 7 days a week. Because what he's given me, Sandy, I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's richly for me to enjoy. I don't need it. There's another level that you can come up to, and God wants all of us to come up to. Just stop trying to get your needs met all the time. And when you're in that place, you better get real good at knowing how much God loves you. The Bible says perfected love does what? Cast out fear. Cast it out. I almost told you what he's given me. God's given me this because he loves me. Just because he loves me. He's my father. I don't know about y'all, but when I go to Walmart, I have a hard time not buying my grandkids something. Do they need it? Lord God, no. They have five rooms at their house. One is a game room. One is a complete playroom with toys strewn all over. Toys in the living room. Toys in the bedrooms. Toys out there in the yard. But do you have a hard time controlling myself? You know why? Because of who they are. I don't feel that way about your grandkids. I don't feel that way about your kids. It's because of who I am, Johnny. It's because of who they are. Them are my grandkids. So when I go to the store, I have a hard time. God is my father. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. Love is having to hold himself back, D, from giving me everything. Why? Just because he loves me. Just because he loves you. But it's kind of hard to see how much God loves you when you keep trying to get your needs met and keep trying to get your needs met. And God, why ain't you doing it? God, don't you care? Ain't that what they told Jesus in the boat? Master, don't you care that we perish? And I bet he got up and he said, Oh, yeah, boys, I do. Let me take care of this for you. No, he got up. He rebuked him. He said, where's your faith at? Why didn't you take care of this? Why didn't you handle this? How dare you accuse me of not caring if you perish or not? Why do you think I'm here? It's the very reason why I came, so you wouldn't perish. Right? So this stony ground, you better get real good at watering it. You better get real good at saying it out of your mouth. I don't care if you feel like saying it or if you don't feel like saying it. And don't ever let anything come out of your mouth that is contrary to the word that you're believing. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Do you know how many Christians? I know you don't, but anyway, just a saying. How many Christians, Sandy, over the years that I have said that to them and it just went, whew, wayside ground. Oh, you can't believe what you say is going to happen. Well, I guess Jesus didn't know what he's talking about then, did he? He says, if you believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth, what? It might happen. He said, you will have whatever you say. So you can't be believing for one thing, and then when it looks like it ain't happening, it looks like it ain't coming, start saying something else. You cannot do that. Why? You'll never get it. You'll stay right here at this stony ground, and you will quit. You'll give up on it. Gosh, I'm almost out of time already. All right. It says there, Psalm 105, the word of the Lord tried Joseph until the time it came to pass. Look at 1 Peter 4:12. Oh, I'm telling you, God just keeps getting gooder and gooder to me. That ain't good English, but y'all know what I mean, don't you? Kind of like somebody, Smith Wigglesworth wrote somebody a letter and they told him, Brother Wigglesworth, did you realize you spelt Holy Spirit seven different ways? He said, well, did you get it? He was kind of a gruff man, they say, you know, and he said, well, yeah, I got it, but you spelt it seven. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. I have to interpret Scotty's writing. I get it. That's all that mattered. Notice here in verse 12. Oh, no, not 12. Let me see here what I got. Yeah, 4:12. I'm in 5. That's why that ain't looking right. He says here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that what? The devil's not involved in this. Remember I told you? This word is what's trying you. This word is what's proving you. To do you good. To root you, to establish you, to ground you, but you got to let it stay. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now listen to it in the Amplified. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality. You're the one on trial here, not the word, you. It says, to test your quality as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you. So when you hear the word, faith is made, joy comes, now you're going to get tested. That word's going to say, y'all remember the story about Elisha and Elijah, right? Elijah asked Elisha, said, what do you want from me? Because dude just keeps following him around. He said, what do you want? He says, I want a double portion of what you have. He says, okay, if you see me when I go up, you'll have it. And he tells him, stop following me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Stop following me. What did Elisha say? Okay, I guess I can. Never, as Aiden would say, never. I'll never stop following you. I'm going to be with you always. As long as you're here, I'm here. Wherever you are, I am. That's the way you got to do with the word. You better stick with it. You better stay with it. Why? Because it's testing you. I don't think Elijah really wanted Elisha to go, Sandy. I think he wanted him to stay. But see, sometimes if I tell you, go, get out of here, go on. Well, bless God, you talk to me like that. I'm just going. Lost it. He would have never got it, Stacy. He would have never got it. But he didn't. He stayed with him. All right, let's look, go back to, let's see here, turn my page. Let's go to Mark 4 now, see what it says. It's talking about, well, let me read 16. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it.